This is HPR episode 2651 entitled HPR Community News for September 2018 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 80 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in September 2018.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Joining me tonight is...
Hi everybody, it's Dave Morris.
And how are you, Dave?
Oh, I'm pretty good, pretty good.
Excellent. This is HPR, which is a Hacker Public Radio community show, which is a bit of a misnomer really, because it is a very broad definition of hackers, and it's public, and it's not really radio as such, so... But we are one of the longest podcasts out there. And this show is done once a month, and this month is for September 2018, where we look back at the happenings in the HPR community. It's recorded on the Saturday before the first Monday of the month. And Dave, if you'd like to introduce the new host, please.
Yes, we have one new host who was on last month's show, actually. Jeroen, is that right?
Yeah,
Jeroen Baten, I believe it's pronounced, but you would know better, actually.
Jeroen Baten, I think.
Baten, okay.
But I think he has deliberately anglicized it for us.
Yes, he's very flexible, obviously.
Yes, so that is very professional for those of us joining for the first time. I lower the bar so the rest of you don't have to. HPR is a community podcast network, meaning the shows are contributed by people just like you. So if you have anything that is of interest to hackers, you can submit it here and we will post it without listening to it. And we do our listening in the month, and then we comment on what has been said, and just to give you feedback, knowing that yes, your show has been heard, because as I was explaining here earlier on today, not all shows can be guaranteed to get some feedback. I think people are a lot better at doing that now, but back in the day, you couldn't always guarantee to get feedback on your episodes. So we go through the shows here, and then we will tell you, read out any comments, and we'll tell you what's been going on in the mailing list and in and around the community. So let's start with the HPR community news for August 2018, and there were two comments on that. The first one was... Do you want to do the first one, perhaps?
Well, I was involved in these two comments because... The commenter Baffled sent two comments which are effectively the same, and I think we sort of got our wires crossed as to what he actually wanted to do with them. So it's really just one comment, but he wanted to enhance the original one. So I can just read the second one, actually, because it's...
Yeah, go for it.
So he says, "Cool show. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I thought it was a fun and interesting show. Thanks also for the mention." He was one of the people who sent in tags the previous month. Now, he says, "Can I do this? Just wanted to..." They meant add to the comment. Well, the answer was no, sorry. "Just wanted to add my two cents on the front notices to podcasts. I like the eSpeak announcements, considering..." And he's... I think he's mistyped this. I think he's saying that he's blind. And that may be why. He says, I'm Blink, but I think maybe that's a typo. "Anyway, the theme music would be nice to have alternating versions to make them less tedious."
Yeah, cool. And that was relating to the this ongoing discussion in which we'll cover in the news section later on, mailing list section.
Mailing list, yep.
Yeah, related to the changing the intro and the branding. So the following day we had the show was by Tony Hughes, and there was a Liverpool MakerFest 2018 series and an interview with Robert and Carl about robotworks.co.uk. So I like this one.
Yeah, well, these are great. Some really interesting people, and wow, this Liverpool MakeFest sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I feel a bit jealous every time he goes, and I think, oh yeah, that's something. He should actually give us some notice, probably, and might see what we can do, because I can actually fly there, but I can actually tell you that I probably won't be able to go to any events either. Sorry, I'm very tired tonight, so I'm a bit muddled. So my apologies, everybody.
It can happen to us all, can that?
So a bit flustered. The following day, there were no comments on that episode, unfortunately. The following day, we had another show that didn't have any comments, and it was Elm, I think. It's a programming language, and this was by Turoto. And... man, where is he getting all this stuff? I don't know.
I know. He's a busy fella, isn't he? It's a language.
Edge, yeah. He's right out there with him and Clacky are going, oh, this is normal. Finding these obscure programming languages.
It's very, very... Yeah, I had a little look at this, but it's a bit over my head, as we've discussed before. It's a language that generates JavaScript for a website.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Sounds like something, as before, something one should get into, you know? I don't know if I ever will.
I think I'm going to file anything that he and Clacky do under. We did a show on HBR 5 years ago about that. Yeah, everybody knows about Elm.
Yeah.
I don't need to Wikipedia that. Thank you very much. So, more down to earth was... Sorry, no, that was not meant in a derogatory fashion, but... Git tags and metadata by Tlatu. An interesting one, actually, on just how you can put a tag on your Git repos.
Yeah. I knew this was possible. I've never really dabbled with it much. I think I don't use Git properly, and so it's not been relevant to me. Agreed. I keep a whole bundle of things in one repository, and they all have different version numbers. So giving the whole bundle a version number, it doesn't fit with what I do, but maybe that's because I don't do it right.
So there were no comments on that one. But the next day we had Jeroen's show about running your own mainframe on Linux for fun and profit. And Dodo D Dummy says, this is embarrassing. Enjoyed the show, but given the fact that I'm a long-time Hercules user and a greybeard mainframer, I'm embarrassed I didn't do this show. Actually, I recorded this show more than once, but thought it wouldn't make sense to someone new to mainframes. I think you handled the problem well. Maybe this will inspire me to create some mainframe shows. I agree, the Mossick's YouTube channel is worth checking out for anyone interested in mainframe. Oh, I won't say I'm angry. I'm just very, very, very disappointed.
I
want you to go to the corner and think about what you've done and bring a podcast recording device with you and record us some shows.
Well, he's mentioned his mainframe credentials many times, but we've been waiting a long time for that.
It's not as if we didn't ask, Dave.
Indeed. So Gavtris says, memories. Oh, this episode brought back pleasant memories when PCs were just toys made to run Word Perfect, Lotus 1-2-3, Harvard Graphics, and Attachmate Extra TN3270 emulator. Thanks for the ride.
Excellent.
That's very good.
But that just goes to show, I have yet to see any episode. I don't think there's any episode that everybody universally liked, but there's always an episode that every episode at least somebody has liked.
Yeah. No, I'm sure there's loads of people who would like to hear more about this sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
I went to Jeroen's talk at OgCamp. I think I mentioned it last time, and it was a really full room. There was a lot of people who were interested in hearing what he had to say, and enjoyed his talk. It was an excellent talk. So you know, it's a subject that a lot of people want to get into, just from the historical point of view or you know, the nostalgia. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Another one from the following day was Liverpool Makerfest, an interview with Noel from JMU Fab Lab. And guys, if you have not gone to the website for this one, you really need to. That is one fantastic piece of 3D printing.
Yeah, it's very impressive stuff, isn't it? It's they're doing some amazing things. This was the JMU Fab Lab.
Yeah,
the exactly. John Moores University. So, they're obviously doing some cool stuff there.
Yeah, this isn't a $200 Chinese 3D printer that printed this stuff. I can tell you.
No. It looks like something very classy here. I'd love to. I'm so sad I couldn't go to this this thing and get first-hand experience of what all these people are doing. There you go.
There you go. No comments on that. People left speeches, no doubt. And we have Convert It to Text by BeEasy. 5 comments on this. Basically, long and short of it is convert it to text from anything to anything. First comment from some weirdo called Ken Fallon. Wow, and this guy can't spell either. Those that I know I use literally every day. Can't wait to try out the rest. Please do a deep dive series on each of these. No pressure.
And Beza says, value of text conversion. I'm a big fan of plain text and CSV, as they're probably the formats that will last conceptually forever, unlike the Office formats we use today, including ODS and ODT and so forth. You may lose the layout information, but the meat is always preserved. The PDF to text converters only work with documents which have been generated from a word processor application. Scans of a printed document generally only produce an embedded JPEG image.
Yeah, true.
Good point that. Yeah. A few years ago, I created a system that employed many of the commands you mentioned in your episode to convert a document into pure ASCII text and create a non-repeating list of all the words it contains, along with an instance count using SQL. By applying this to the contents of a document library, the database was used to populate a search by keyword system for that library. Populating the database from several hundred Word and PDF documents took only a couple of minutes. The subsequent keyword searches were very fast and produced a list of relevant documents ranked by the number of instances of the keyword. It was very easy to combine keywords using SQL and or qualifiers.
Okay, I'm calling that entire comment a show. So if you could turn that into a show, that would be awesome. Thank you.
It sounds very cool. I'd love to hear more about that.
Also, I have, even with the ones where it scans it into a PDF image, there are places online available that will take a PDF and do optical character recognition on it.
Okay.
I've found that sometimes, you know, if you've got multi-column, that if you do a little bit of text editing on it and convert it into left column and right column, it makes it easier for those things to work. Would be cool if people have some command line experience with OCRs that can be run on the Linux command line. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jonas says, Ranger, etc. I'm a diehard Vimmer and never heard of Ranger. I'm looking forward to using it more. I asked a couple of my online Linuxy buddies, and they used it years ago, but had less substantial machines. I still love command line stuff, even with my best machines. Everything is super quick in the terminal. Thanks for the mention and your great shows. I explore JQ for sure. I work with databases and save a couple of columns in JSON. It would be nice to query the exports in a more friendly way. JQ is awesome. I use it every day. If nothing else, just if you get JSON, guys, and pipe it into JQ, open quote, a full stop, a close quote, and that gives you a nice, pretty JSON, just as a by-the-by.
Yeah. I've discovered it in the past, so 6 months or so, and found it wonderful. Really enjoy it. So I said, great show. You hear the cat in the background, which he wants to
do. I do indeed.
His microphone's so sensitive, I can't pretend it's not happening.
Can you take her out of the microwave, please, Dave?
I said, I installed Ranger after listening to your show 1756, and I put a link, but never used it. and completely forgot about it. I was surprised to find it on my system and have been playing about with it a lot since listening to this show. I'm a long-time text and command line user, but I tend to use Midnight Commander for the times I want to do a lot of file searching and manipulation. But I have to admit, I use Dolphin sometimes in two-pane mode when doing things like copying files off an SD card. I shall add Ranger to the mix too, I think. I agree with Ken. We need shows about all of the tools in your list! Exclamation mark. Anyway, this was a very welcome episode. Thanks.
Yeah, that is true. There were, I loaded all of them, and there were a few missing. Media Info I use all the time because of what I do. So I'd used quite a lot of these. In fact, Media Info, an awful lot of stuff is based on that. Popper Utils use all the time, but there was one or two that were not available on Fedora, and I couldn't find them anywhere. CatDoc, I think it was, and CatPT.
Yeah. I haven't used it. I used to use CatDoc a lot because I refused to use Windows as much as I possibly could. And that was a great way of dealing with documents people send me from Windows. But I got slapped about in the end for doing that.
Ranger, I loaded it actually. And I was thinking it might be a nice one for... Did I tell you I ordered a... I got to order a Pinebook.
Oh, right.
So,
oh, cool.
So, yeah, $99. The shipping was actually 33% of the price of the thing. So, 34%, to be honest. I had to pay $34 in shipping to get a $100 laptop. But, yeah. And I was thinking of having that as my on-the-train laptop and just doing everything in the console. If I
yeah,
can.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
No absolutely. Window manager, just, you know, hardcore text only. Anyway, Clacky says, Q, never heard of Q before. Very cool. I will very likely find a use for this tool. Not very Googleable name, but I found it here. And that's true. I could not find it either.
Yeah, no, I know. I seeing that, I went and chased the link and was playing around with it, installed it and played with it. It's really clever.
Yeah,
it's
very
amazing.
Smart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What a brilliant idea. But, yeah. I'm just going to go and let my cat out, so could you mind carrying on with that?
No, not a problem. Ding! Anyone got the number of the local RSPCA in Scotland? Can you please email it to me so we can save Dave's cat? Anyway, the following day we had Dirt Cheap Magic. Magic the Gathering for cheapskates, and this was Tlatu basically going to secondhand stores getting cheap cards. And he also explained what Magic of the Gathering was and how it worked and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed that show because I had no clue about this topic. And it seemed to me like a very good way to enter into games without being overly anal about the rules of the games and stuff.
Yes, I also enjoyed this because of the similar reasons. Just refuse to play by the rules to some extent is a nice approach. I like that.
And also, yeah, recycling thing. I can probably understand why they do it, but yeah, it's cool. Following day, Bash Tips number 9, making decisions in Bash. Very nice show as always. The extended show notes are to be followed. I've given up, Dave, and I just watch the extended show notes as I'm listening to the episode.
Okay.
I've given up pretending that I'm not going to be able to follow because you have the show notes there. It makes no sense for me not to use them. So that's why I do. And you in this show explained to me why I'm getting that command not found, that I needed to do the space in between the two. I always knew I had to do that, and now I know why. This
gave
me loads of answers.
I'm finding these things out for myself too, you realize. So, you know, this is not me being brilliantly clever, it's me so saying why I don't understand why I have to do this all the time, and then I find it and then I pass on the message. So if it helps somebody, I'm very happy.
And I reply going, always knew I needed spaces and now I know why. I'm sure that's not how I spelt it, Dave.
There might have been a change there. I don't know how that happened, but yes. So, to new readers, a certain person I know asked for effectively a challenge. Edit this if you can, and I didn't have the means of editing comments, but now I do. So yes, I took the challenge. Yes. Well, you'll have to look after it yourself one day. So,
No, I'll find some other sucker, Dave. Don't you worry. There's always going to be somebody who's going to get annoyed.
I hope they're not listening. I hope they're not listening.
No, no. I make it perfectly clear to people. You knew what you were getting into. I'll continue on. Evaluating things to zero seems strange. Note to stealth. Stop using WC-L and count grep output instead.
Yeah, good point. Johan V says, really interesting. I hadn't listened to HBR for a long time, but a couple of days ago I had some spare time and I decided to listen to this episode. I liked it a lot and today I'm a little more aware about what I'm actually doing while writing if statements and those square brackets in Bash and checking return codes. Thanks for the interesting show. Oh, I have to do the next one as well.
Oh, yeah, true.
It's mine. So I said, thanks for the feedback. Ken, yes, the arithmetic stuff evaluated to true false is a bit counterintuitive, I think. Yes, grep is quite a powerful tool for use in scripts. Johan V, glad you found the show useful. I'm trying to explain things that I never fully understood before and to share what I found as I do so. So,
just on that point, for people who are listening to this show and think, oh, that is a series that I find interesting. I was listening to You Random, and this came up here as well, I'm just interested in one particular show, how do I do that? So if you go to the HPR website and you go to the link Get Shows, under RSS syndication, if you go to Advanced Settings, you can see some of the options that we do. But actually, another thing, instead of going there, so you go to Get Shows, right there is a complete episode guide. And each of the episodes, no, sorry, in-depth series guide. And in the in-depth series guide, each of the series has a RSS feed for that particular series. So if you were interested in following Dave's Bash Tips show, I think this is under Bash Scripting. Yeah, so if you're interested in just Bash Scripting, you can go to that under... So Get Shows, complete episode guide, and then scroll down to Bash Scripting and you get a feed like hpr_og_rss.php series=42, and then you can subscribe to that. So there you go. And was that the comments on that show?
That was it. Yep.
So the next day we had another rambling drive into work, which was from Mr. X. And yeah, I like the rundown on the various different microphones and stuff. And the love bug says, audio quality. Good to hear from you again. I really enjoyed this episode. The audio quality was definitely on point. Those little lapel mics are really great. Don't worry too much about the structure of this episode. You were recording it to make a point, and you made it really well. So... thank you.
Yeah. Good show. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Mr. X got slightly confused between myself and Dave the Love Bug. So I helped him to fix that in the notes. So didn't want to take credit where it wasn't due.
Yeah, no worries. Too many Daves in the world, Dave.
True enough.
And this was another interview with the Microbit Foundation, which I found her story really fascinating, how she ended up working for Microbit. It was really nice.
Yeah. The story of the Microbit project and getting these devices out into kids' hands was quite interesting. I hadn't got the full picture. So it's only a partial success because the teachers were not really up to speed with it. But, it's moved forward since then. But it's typical of these sorts of projects.
Yeah.
They don't think the thing through properly.
So my Swedish and German podcast, part two. This was by Folky and some more Swedish podcasts. There are no comments on that one, but there will be shortly. The following day, we had random elements of storytelling, the payoff in the storytelling. Lost in Bronx essays, I think, on storytelling. I like these. They make me think... they clarify stuff that I've always found obvious about stories or storytelling. Or when he says it, I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Not obvious. Obvious wasn't a word, but yeah, that should have been obvious.
Yeah, I know. I find myself a little bit more analytical when reading and listening to stories as a consequence. So it's really helpful from that point of view.
Yeah, it gives you an insight into a little bit, pulls back the curtain a bit, how a story is put together. You know, like when, because I did some amateur dramatics, when you go to the theatre, there's always, you can enjoy the story, but there's always the appreciation of the artistry and doing the lights or bringing up the sound or moving somebody onto the stage. And now I'm beginning to get that additional benefit to reading stories. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, LMB. And no need to apologize for the audio quality because, I'm in the car, no, because any show is better than no show.
And it's certainly not that bad anyway.
No, it's not that bad either.
No, it's fine.
And you can read the next one, Dave.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, I'll do for the clacky one because it's easy. Ah, you timed it. You got them in the wrong order. Ken loves you, says clacky. Now, that's how you don't waste a good opportunity to make an HBR episode. I'm observing and learning. So this was Folky doing effectively a correction to his previous podcast, which sort of threw us slightly because we thought, well, why didn't he just ask us to change it? But he wanted to change the audio as well, so yeah. But he included a different podcast feed than the one he'd mistakenly put into the original show, which Ken's going to pronounce in a minute.
Yep. So Clacky says the original show. Oh, I love the original show, and I love that Ken and Dave is going to have to pronounce English when reading out the community news. Do you listen to this other podcast back when it was archived and CJ was one of the people involved? It was a very good show and I miss it.
Oh, that footwork is brilliant. Yes, I like that, yeah.
Folky says, regarding that podcast, yes, I listen to the other podcasts and I miss it. For sometimes I listen to the first podcast after it ended, but that's not really good replacement. To be honest, the other podcast is one of those podcasts I meant with get tired of. We really need some good Swedish and German in the tradition of quality of SGU.
So the podcast was called
it was
Kvalificerad Hemligt, perhaps.
You had to go and ruin it.
I saw that coming through and I said to my son who did German at school, how do you say that? And he said, I don't know. And so that's not much use then.
I actually went and downloaded that and I could not get a snippet of them saying it. So anyways, the following day, blinking LEDs. And NY Bill says, this is where NY Bill had sent me a 555 timer and I basically just followed somebody's tutorial and buggered it up on the way. By not putting in the right resistors and capacitors and stuff. Haha, nice job, Ken. It made me smile when I heard you happy it was finally blinking. And we got some live troubleshooting as well. Good stuff. You know how I remember the way an LED went way back when? One leg of the LEDs is cut off. So cut off stands for C. So you get a cathode. The short leg is the cathode. If you had a leg cut off, you would be pretty negative about it. So the short leg is negative. I love that. Cut off, yeah.
His mnemonics are amazing. I love
them. I love these. Just a little mnemonic device I made up to help me remember. I still think of it to this day. Yes, and I was actually in the train trying to remember what that was. I was thinking, oh, I've come to it in the community news. So yes, I might cut that off and put it up here on my LED thing. Now that you need to build one of those oscilloscope kits, now that you can see how fast your thing is blinking, see how I did that, how we're going to get more shows. And I was thinking about this, but I think going from a blinking an LED with a 5.5 timer to soldering an oscilloscope kit that he needed to write and program firmware is a little bit like going from kindergarten maths up to, you know, advanced Fourier transforms and stuff.
Yeah, so yes.
I might do a few in between.
It'd be quite an achievement, mind you, but yes. I was tempted to buy one ready made up, to be honest with you. I haven't done so.
I was actually thinking of doing a analog mechanical 555 chip. And I have some thoughts on how you would actually build an analog 555 chip.
That would be good. That would be good.
Carry on.
Tototo says, great show. These troubleshooting shows, one of my favorites. I did tinker just a tiny bit with electronics at school, but never invested enough time to really understand what electricity is all about. Especially the analog electronics is a sort of black magic to me. Smiley face. But I love listening when someone is working with it and explaining what they're doing and slowly working their way through a problem.
Oh, slowly working. That'd describe me all right. Yeah.
You got there, though. You got there.
This is exactly what put in the wrong thingies. But what was very useful, actually, in troubleshooting was saying it out loud. By recording the episode, I was checking it to myself when I assumed that everything was working correctly. Just not even taking out the right components. You know, it's a bit embarrassing.
It's these assumptions that mess you up, you know, because you think, I've got that right, and it takes ages before you spot that you've made that assumption that you shouldn't have done.
Anyway, I might do a few more of those. Would be nice.
But, yeah.
Because I'm planning on doing a few anyway, because I always found electronics a bit of a black magic, never really understood it. So I had, I've said this 100 times before, but I'll say it again, because, hey, why not? Having a mechanical engineering background, I can understand how you physically build transistors and stuff. And then having gone into IT and working my way back to programming, you kind of understand the concepts of and an OR gates and stuff. But then the bit in between, and it's been really nice over the last 2 or 3 years to be figuring out the bridge in between. So,
yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Liverpool Maker Fest. Steve and Gerard from the Liverpool Astronomy Society, one of the first astronomy clubs outside of London. Very cool. Very cool.
Nice. Yeah, that I had not realised that they were so old and venerable, I think is the word. Yeah, yes. Very significant.
I would imagine, Dave, you hear that quite a lot.
Yeah. It's usually somebody saying, "Would you like a seat?" And then when I'm on the bus, you know, this poor old sod can't stand up there like that.
Well, I wouldn't mind that. Anyway, we move on. More quick tips. The only key and Nerf guns. So the Nerf guns I got, and the only key is a physical device to send in passwords and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes, it's like the YubiKey, I think, isn't it? I didn't quite work out what it was, but stuff like PGP passphrases and keys, I should say, PGP keys.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, quite cool. Yeah.
Operator comes out with nice, interesting ones from time to time.
I can't imagine working somewhere where everybody's got Nerf guns and is shooting one another.
So. Yeah, I know of one company where they had that, and it kind of went very, very quickly overboard.
Yeah.
Explaining the controls on your amateur HF radio, part one. And I, for one, love this. And Ed My Bill puts it very succinctly. Who's reading this one? You or me?
Still catching up.
Okay, Ed My Bill says, "Thanks, pal. Yeah, do continue this series. I recently only got my tech license and I'm going for a general soon. It's nice to have somebody explain what you might see if and when you get an actual radio, because walking into this cold, it just looks like a lot of buttons." Yes, it does. I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
And I downloaded a picture of it as well, just to follow
up. Me too. Yeah, what an amazing looking device.
It looks like a proper radio.
Yeah. Definitely like to have one of those just for the buttons, you know. It can be empty inside.
And Bash Tips Part 2. This time it's serious. No comments on this one. Let's see what we covered. The while until loops. What did you... Yeah, and you did if then. But one thing you didn't cover was the differences in the shells that are opened for an if and then loop versus a while loop. What you talking about, Ken?
You mean that...
Try this. Yeah. This is your homework for next month. Try doing a FFmpeg loop. So do a loop where you call FFmpeg to transcode something. And try with a for loop. For I in asterisk MP3 do. And then while, you know, cast blah, blah, blah. And try for a while loop. One will work and one won't.
Oh, yeah. I have covered this, actually. I did it in another show on Bash scripting. The thing about if you put while in a pipe, at the end of a pipe, then you get a separate process. And if you can get into all, I think we're talking about the same thing anyway, you get into all sorts of tangles because that separate process doesn't communicate back with the process you started it from.
Yeah, and then just exit out.
Yeah, yeah. So I fell over this myself and then found out why. And it's the thing where you have a counter. You set the counter to zero outside the loop. Then you feed something to the while loop through a pipe. And then you keep counting. And then you report the count at the end. And you get zero.
Yeah.
Because the counter got thrown away when the process stopped. But the way to solve that is to, and it will be in the next show, though not answering that question specifically, but the while examples all use a redirection through the done part of the while loop. If you do it that way, and the thing that comes after the less than can be a file name, or indeed it can be one of those, I can't remember the names of them.
The
process expansion things. Yeah. Things in brackets with a less than or a greater than on the front, which runs a whole process and then feeds the output, the process through back up to the while loop. I've already written these shows, so I can't add to them now, but I have covered this and explained it in an earlier one of the Bash tips shows. Maybe not enough, but yeah. Okay. I was wondering, my next one in the series should be just sort of picking up some of the loose ends that are around. I might do that some stage.
Okay.
Anyway.
But do try that, because I'm not sure that's exactly what happens, because it does the first one and then it just stops.
Okay. Give me an example when you have a moment and I'll have a look at it and see if I can work out why.
Okay. The following day was My Pocket Knife by Shane Shannon. And there's one comment on that. Another one I want to make is he very cleverly put a sandwich over there's a notebook which has got HBR topics on it. And very cleverly put his sandwich over it. So all I can see is I something, something, something. I can't see exactly what topics he's promised. Because if you mention them, folks, if you mention them, I was thinking of doing a show on HBR on this, then you owe us that show. That is, you owe me a show about it.
I think he might be wise to that, particular track.
Anyway, I said, mailbag, WTF. What, pray, is a milk bag? Sorry, milk bag. What is a milk bag? We use milk bags in Canada, and I'm fascinated by that. Also, I want a soundscape tour around the Niagara Falls. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. Yeah, the milk bag's a strange idea, I think.
Okay, don't ruin the show. Don't ruin the show.
It's... No. Something I'd like to hear the answer.
During this episode, I was thinking, what is the fascination with pocket with knives in continental America? I don't get it. But then he did give an example of where he uses his knife all the time. It just seems to be used a lot more than here.
I'd like to know. I've got the equivalent, is it Durol? It comes from the same place in France, Thiers, mm-hmm. which is another pocket knife with a lock. Which people just have to cut bits off their baguette and chunk of cheese and stuff. I bought it in France for that very purpose.
Okay, so, this is this. I want people to send in quick shows, what knife you have and why you have the knife.
Yeah.
Very simple.
I think I was toying with that one myself, actually. I think we need a pocket knife series. Yep, definitely.
Yep. Well, it's like the pen series, which has died, Dave. The pen series is dead. Nobody cares anymore about pens, Dave.
I can't work them into Bash tips. This is the problem.
Okay, that was it with the shows. Then we had what? The comments from previous month.
Indeed.
And we'll start with Zoke's episode, a DerbyCon interview with Paul Koblowitz. And that was from 2018. That show was 2015, December 2015, to be honest. and it was 2008. Very interesting. I love Zork's stuff. And that show was about a senior security consultant at Trusted Sec involving physical penetration. So good. Again, proving that people go back and listen to their shows, even quite old shows.
I do remember that. And I just kind of quick peep. And the guy was talking about a thing he called a Lloyd. I remember talking about that on one of these shows because we were trying to work out what on earth it was. Something like a sort of card that you could poke through and fasten locks or something, was it?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Vaguely remember. I have to listen to that one again now.
And Archer72 sent an update to his own show showing where the code has been for DVD ripping, code change from the repository. Repositories have moved, basically.
Yep.
And Clucky replying to comments on his own show, which was 2557 from the 5th of 22nd of the year, purely functional static site generator. And the comment is with Nix 2.1, reading TOML files has become a built-in function, just built-ins from TOML space path to file. .tuml. I can't imagine this being unrelated to Mozilla's implementation of Nix. He basically has conversations with himself on his own comments to his own shows.
Yes, yes. Interesting to listen in.
And nothing wrong with that. Comment on Hohuka's cancer show. Have you caught up?
Yes, I have. Yes.
Go
now read this one. The author is a person.
Very good.
Thank you, Hooker, for your... It's a good handle. Thank you, Hooker, for your bravery, honesty, and openness on this subject. HPR has a broad spectrum of listeners, though one suspects many are people who, though younger than yourself, are acutely aware of family history of certain cancers. This show gave great insight into what one should expect if a diagnosis becomes a pressing concern, particularly with the state of modern medicine. Also, thank you for reiterating one should always consult a medical professional for advice on which to make a decision about treatment or any other course of action. Yeah, well said.
Or at least or a few, to be honest. Cycling to Brussels by Nightwise. Baffles says, very nice. Your descriptions were excellent and enjoyable. Thank you very much for sharing this trip through town. You see, you don't need to... It doesn't have to be hard, guys. It doesn't have to be hard. You just press record and talk, or press record and walk, as some people have done, and not spoken at all.
Yeah, true.
There's been more than one of those very popular shows.
So shall I do the next one?
Please do, yes.
2625, My Thoughts on Language Learning Communication Applications by DODD Dummy. And Klake says, accordion outro. Thank you, Mr. X, for that lovely accordion outro. Hadn't heard it before.
And he goes on to say,
"Shall I do that one as well? Shall I give you
yeah,
rest? Interesting
yeah.
idea," says Clacker. "I'm a tool person, so I really like the idea of using your tools to push yourself forward in your language learning. It's hard to say how it would turn out in practice, but I'm optimistic. As you mentioned, mixing vocabulary in languages that are very different grammars could become a bit strange, but code switching, that is jumping back and forth between languages, is common and frequent with bilingual people, and it frequently happens mid-sentence. So I guess that just shows that people are pretty good at making it work, even in radically different languages. The area where I live has mostly Chinese Hong Kongers, but many of them speak a lot of English in the office and at home, and it's pretty much very fun to listen to the kids in the playground and in the playroom talk to each other. It's a real soup of Cantonese and English."
Yeah, really cool.
Sounds good, that, yeah.
And
that's it, because we did Brenda J. Butler's comment last time.
Stoop, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we were talking about the Dutch and all that stuff.
Roger, and we're on to the thread, which was opened by myself, about HPR branding. And we'll just do it here. Basically run down what the current branding is. Should we change anything? Show synopsis, is that adding value? Do we continue to thank our host? Should we remove it or put it into the outro? Should we refresh the HPR music, make it shorter? Should we do the HPR outro text be changed? Any other changes? I think we should go through all of these, actually, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you want to do BJB's one?
Hold on a sec. Yep. So BJB says, I'm a bit new to the community, but that said, here is my opinion. I'm okay with the setup as it is, but if we could make the intro outro music a little quieter to more closely match the show, that would be nice. While it's a little
Can I comment on each of these as we go?
Yeah, go.
And I'm just commenting here without my personal opinion. This is me as an admin commenting. We take the shows in, and by default, we do automatic leveling on the entire show, but that doesn't always work if there are peaks in the show itself. So in order to do that, we would need to manually download the shows and manually edit them. And I worked that out that it would be about 40 hours or so a year for somebody to be doing that. And you're getting into the range of that being that's an actual job to continue to do that . And also, we don't always get the shows right on time. For example, this show today needs to be posted by Monday, but we've had shows where we've had very little time to edit them, and you're not always in the space where you can download the shows. You're on vacation or something, and you need to download it over a crappy connection. So whatever solution we come up with, the encoding has to be something that can be scripted. That's what I'm saying. Okay, carry on.
So she says, while it's a little boring to hear the thank you every time, it's polite and thankful to the hosters. I'm okay with having it up front.
One thing I was thinking about that was that if we do pick an intro, we could do quite a lot of that during the intro. So we could have the theme music starting to play. We could have the this is episode blah 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 blah. I want to thank our host blah 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 blah, and then the intro music fades out. So we could compact the whole lot down to be on the same in the same period, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I had a quick scan through these before we started, and I think it was Bob Jonkman who said something very similar, doing a fade and then voiceover type thing for the intro, which is a great idea. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So going back to BJB, what's a hacker podcast without a little text to speech? Having it read the show synopsis is as good an excuse as any to include some TTS.
And my comment on that is yes, but I would always love, I know there are better Linux voices out there, because we could have Popey from the Ubuntu UK podcast is a text-to-speech voice, and I would love him, his voice, to be used here in HPR. But I cannot, I'm beating my head against the wall. I do not have the technical skills to get that going. If there's somebody out there who knows how you could get Popey's voice configured so that I could, then contact us and we'll get you whatever technical tools you need in order to facilitate that.
Yeah, that would be great. Yes. Also, after listening to a podcast or other content, it can be good to have a little filler between shows, so you have a few minutes to think about the content before being bombarded with more content.
Personal preferences, I guess.
The actual music is fine with me. I also enjoy the occasional community members' reinterpretation, be it whistled, sung, and or played on the accordion. Smiley face.
Yeah, cool. The next one is by Dave Lee. And whilst I agree that the theme music could do with turning down a bit, I also think that some hosts could do more to improve the levels on their recorded segment. This is an observation I have to many podcasts, not just HPR. A tiny amount of post-production effort would make a huge difference on the final episode. I agree, but I also disagree, because our goal here is, by its very nature, we're here as a means for getting people into podcasting. And there are plenty of people who... So I want to hear those shows. I want people coming in. And by your very nature, as time goes on, you get better mics and you become more confident and you hear your show and you ask people. And people like Dave are very, very good very good at helping people. And that sounds like pedantic, but I know he has helped people improve the quality of their podcast. So there's plenty of people who are here to help. So, yeah. Point is, though, we can't always guarantee that, and I don't really want to make it, oh, no, one must have perfect audio before one is on HPR, if you know what I mean.
Can't quite imagine that, but yeah, take your point.
Do the next one.
So this is Mike Ray. TTS bit, he says, I'm most interested in the name of the host and the duration. The duration I can get from my podcatcher, and I guess most podcatchers get this. But the name of the host is only available if I look online first, which I don't do at 1 o'clock in the morning, which is when the new cast drops out.
Want to comment on that? The duration is kind of important because sometimes you hear you have 5 minutes. Not everybody will have their player even available. You know, it's now I have my phone in my pocket and I listen on my headphones, and I don't even want to take it out. So by knowing that the show is five minutes, or it's a 3 hour show, and I've got 10 more minutes left on my commute, I might skip that show onto the next one because it's 10 minutes and I can get it in. So having that definitely is a feature people use.
So Mike says, based on the host, I sometimes just delete it without going any further. Usually when I've heard the duration and the name of the host, I jump ahead 30 seconds and miss the host message and the music, or most of it. But tedious as it is, I think thanking Josh is necessary and polite after all he does for HBR.
Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Personally, I hate that bleeping music, smiley face, but it's just as much part of HBR as the Nike Flash is to overpriced sweatshop produced sneakers. Music is too loud, as others have said. But although sound quality can sometimes be annoyingly bad and can on occasion make it difficult to listen, a poorly recorded show is better than no show, as Ken has often said.
However, I might try reducing the volume on the intro and outro and see how that works.
Yeah, we did that several years ago as well. The version we put up for people to grab was we turned the volume down. But yeah, okay. So case in point, he says, Sig Flop's excellent recent episode on getting the Cisco phone she found in the garage working contained a bad echo. But what if what a brilliant episode it was. Hacking at its best and worthy of HBR, if for nothing else, but the obvious delight in the voice and dialogue from the host at getting it to work. So it's dangerous to complain about sound recording quality. To do so, we risk not digging up some gems.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah, I shouldn't comment on any of these because I think all the comments have been said. Okay, the next one was from Kevin. I've never had a problem with the current setup, so I vote to keep everything as it is. Okay, short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah, good point. So next is from Bob Junkmund, who says... he's answering Mike Ray step by step. Music is too loud. Actually, I think the music is at a good level, but the show itself is much too quiet. As Dave Lee said, a bit of post-production can be extremely helpful, and this can probably be automated.
Again, if somebody can help with that, that would be great. What I'm doing now is fairly basic, but if there is a way to automate this better, please get in touch. I am not in any way proud about these scripts. If there are better scripts, better ways to do this, get in touch.
So Bob says, I do love the music, but it's a bit long. Perhaps the format can be, number one, 10 seconds of intro music. Conveniently, the fanfare has just sounded twice at 10 seconds. Second point, fade intro music to 30%, start voiceover of the TTS show synopsis. Third point, with luck, the TTS show synopsis is over just before the intro music runs out. If not, the intro music repeats sans fanfare at the 30-second mark, but fades. Perhaps the intro music can just keep repeating until both the show synopsis and the sponsorship thank you are done. Point four, sponsorship thank yous. Five, music fades completely, the show starts. Six, outro is great as it is and a good example of voiceover music. He signs it, Bob. Bob, who has no business providing advice until he submits another show, was Emerald. We saw that, Bob. We heard you.
That is actually very good feedback. And we could even, I can even do different, how you get fixed that issue is you do make several different versions of the show length. So we find what the maximum up until now show has been with intro and TTS. And, you know, if it's a new host and it's in a series and there's a long thingy, there's actually a limit to how much that could be, and then we can record edit various different versions of the intro that are, you know, 1 minute, 1 minute 5 seconds, 1 minute 10 seconds, 1 minute, you know, the whole way up, and then pick the appropriate one because we would be able to calculate it beforehand.
Yep
Good so idea. I like this. The only thing this does though, Dave, it means that people would no longer be able to add their own intros to the show.
True, true.
Which and is which
relevant to a future subject.
Yeah, and that future subject is now, if there's one thing that we have not been able to do is fix the, has people sent the intro now or have they not? And if we say, okay, you can use any intro you want, but it's from this list. So, so your show will not have an intro on it, and then we will add the intro automatically always. That would be one thing, which would solve the automation issue in my mind. My mind being the HBR automation person mind, not the HBR contributor mind, which may have a different opinion.
No, no, fair enough. But could you offer a menu of the available intros? Because that would give an opening for people to create new intros and submit them and have them accepted or whatever. And then somebody who likes an accordion start or a Abyssinian nose flute intro can choose that.
Well, the outro, as we said before in the last discussion, was that, you know, HPR-inspired music for the outro. For the intro, we have had some submissions from Jeroen's friend, and they have been the intro music exactly. So it's that theme, and they haven't deviated from it. The thing about the intro music is from a branding perspective, it tells people this is a HPR show and it needs to be very recognizable. So therefore, if you're doing an intro, I would expect, and this is me as a HPR contributor talking, not a HPR admin, I would expect that the HPR shows, that the community approves HPR intros.
Yeah.
And that, yes, you can pick from this predefined list. If a new intro comes in, then the community decides, do we add that to the list or do we not add that to the list? The outro, I'm not that pushed about.
Yep.
Okay, should we go on?
Indeed. There's a comment from an email from Lost in Bronx who says, I know it's been brought up in the past, but if we're revisiting the whole thing, is there a better voice available for eSpeak these days? I like the idea of having the host announced along with a simple description of the episode, but every time I recommend an episode to someone outside the HBR community, I have to warn them to ignore the horrible robot voice at the beginning. It really sounds quite bad compared to others that are out there, though I don't know what free software options are currently available. If this one is still state-of-the-art for scriptable FOSS voices, then nothing to complain about, since nothing can be done. But if some better voices do exist now, perhaps we could look at swapping out the one we currently use.
Yeah, and as I said, I definitely know the Pokey voice is... Pokey from the Ubuntu UK podcast, who works for Ubuntu. Canonical, actually, and works on Ubuntu for Canonical. It would be absolutely awesome if we could get that voice, or a voice like it. Ideally, whatever Pokey did to record his voice could have Manon, my wife, who does the outro, can do the voice. I always wanted a text-to-speech, but I could never figure out how to do it. So if somebody knows how to do it, please, please get in touch. Ken@fallon.ie. Ken@fallon.ie. Thank you.
So Cobra 2, adds to the HBR branding discussion. I always liked Festival over eSpeak. The voices just sound more real to me. I find that shows where the host does all the mixing of the intro, outro music sound the best as far as levels go. I don't really care. My ears have been blown out of the water a few times, and a few more isn't going to make me deaf. What are your thoughts, Ken?
Well, you've heard them all from an admin point of view. Personally, my favorite theme has been the Twat theme, and I never understood why we switched away from it to the HBR theme. The HBR theme is HBR though now, so the idea behind the HBR theme at the time was that it sounded like a new show. Like, you're listening to the evening news for the Tri-County area. So, da-da-da-da, important news brought to you by the HBR community. That sort of feel.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah, but the Twat team is like, now my cable, I'm getting stable. And it's got a
I
really nice beat to it. But, you know, as with everything, it's personal preference, and so that's my personal preference, but there you go. That's why I tend to, when I'm doing anniversary shows, I tend to drag out the Twat team whenever I can.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today with the techie
theme. Yep.
Because I understand that twat is a rude, naughty word. Not over this side of the pond, but anyway.
Everything's a rude word somewhere or other.
Been reading too much Terry Pratchett, dude.
Yeah. So we have a comment from Nigel Verity, who says, my only gripe is with the electronic voice. A point I raised on an earlier thread a few months back is that we have a lot of listeners to whom English is a second language. eSpeak does not lend itself to clear, unambiguous diction. I could just about get value from a podcast in German, but I'm certain I'd struggle to understand an intro in German using eSpeak. I prefer a gentle and clear human voice. The voice which appears in the outro would be perfect, but I do appreciate that it's a bit of an imposition on somebody to take the upcoming episode schedules and record, edit all the snippets. I'd volunteer to do it, but anybody who's heard my few episodes would know my voice is just not the one for the job. That's Beza, is his handle.
Yes, and the outro is my wife, so she could definitely record what is needed for to record a computer voice based on her voice. By the way, if you do an eSpeak and you can change the phonetics so that it will speak German with a German accent. So I have a script that uses the Dutch pronunciations, and it reads a piece of text, Dutch obviously, with a Dutch accent, and it works out quite nice.
So Mike Ray comes back to that comment and says, while I always get very uptight about people criticizing eSpeak, which is, in my humble opinion, one of the most wonderful pieces of open source ever, and has without doubt done more for blind computer users throughout the globe than almost anything else. I know that it's not understandable in some languages as it is in English, but we only use it in English. So you think eSpeak is bad? Jump in your time machine and listen to the voices we had to use 30 years ago or so. In the days of DOS, Dolphin Orpheus was pretty much all there was, and that was awful. This is bound to be some Dolphin Orpheus. There is bound to be some Dolphin Orpheus on YouTube somewhere. And having said that, Dolphin Orpheus is still allowed blind people to do a lot of good work and to learn how to use a PC. If you listen to eSpeak for long enough, for example, as a blind computer user, you just concentrate on the work, not on the voice. A bit like not caring about your wallpaper while you're actually working. eSpeak also has a very small code footprint. It runs comfortably on an old Raspberry Pi with only 256 megabytes of RAM, where others won't. But SBox Pico is nice, at least in English. It has rubbish language support. I think it only works in English and French. I'm not sure if it has a batch mode which allows automation of the conversion of a fragment of text into an audio file. I don't use SBox Pico on my PCs, though, because it's much bigger than eSpeak, so won't run comfortably at a very fast rate. Pretty much anything else costs money.
I use eSpeak on a daily basis. Just completely have learned to, or have not learned to, have become so accustomed to it that it's just, I don't even hear the accent or the... What's the word I'm looking for, Dave?
Well, I guess the sort of rendition or the...
Yeah, rendition, thanks. Rendition. That was doing. Cool. I'll read one from Jason Dodd. The more I think about this, the more this reminds me of a tech upgrade Stephen Hawking had a couple of years ago, where there are lots of good upgrades. He didn't upgrade his voice. Not all that different from the HPR voice. He didn't change it because it had become his voice. Nevertheless... I don't come for the intro or reading of the summary. I come for the show. If it's changed and I don't have to make the change, I'll be all right. Now that I think about it, if the intro, outro, announcement, show, summary, pitches for the other show, thanks for the host, were all put at the end of the show, I could just get more show in. Fair enough.
Yes. Could be using a skip button there. But, yes,
skip button. Called for shows because we ran out of shows and we're kind of okay now again, but again, the shark tooth problem arises. We run out of shows, we get more shows in, we run out of shows. But it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere and traditionally we tend to get more shows in. But please keep sending in your shows. Thank you. Have a nice day. Corva2 asked about the old bandwidth issues. And just wondering, when the site was having bandwidth issues, has S3 ever been brought up as a possible solution for the storage and the bandwidth? And Josh replied saying, yes, it was. but there were some cost issues. I'm donating the server and the bandwidth because it's sort of a fixed cost for me. The bandwidth is a fixed cost for me. So putting the S3 files would have a floating cost, much harder to predict or control. And Corbett2 replies, floating costs suck a lot. Should storage and performance ever become up again, I would suggest wasabi.com as a very viable alternative to the S3 storage objects. It's 1 terabyte for $5 a month or $60 a year today's prices. I've been using them for a couple of months now as a backup solution for my personal stuff and expanded storage of my next cloud instance. Catch 22 is that they bill 3 months after you delete something. So interesting, good to know. And another HPR tune came in. Oh, I forwarded that from Jeroen. I was blissfully ignorant recently seems to have started discussion about the HPR theme. Personally, I found it sounds very much out of date, but that's just me. Anyway, I talked to a friend of mine called Bart, and he uses a communication and he uses me as a communication proxy, who is both a lovely geek nerd and also, in my humble opinion, a brilliant music composer. Anyway, a few hours after sending him the event so far, he replied to me with both new arrangements for the current tune and rules garden files so that we can play around with it. Upon somebody saying it sounded hackerish enough, he made a 3P version and attached all the files, and they're all linked on the website. Are you still there?
Yes. Sorry, I was just turning the page. So in response to that, and at that point, there were just two tunes. Lost in Bronx says, these are great, wonderful themes. I personally prefer the first version. That was the one that it was me who said, it doesn't sound too hackerish, maybe something else. I prefer the first version since I don't tend to focus on geeky subjects. Pass along my compliments, please. And Tony Hughes said, hi, guys and girls. I've just listened to both and prefer the original non-3P version. I think it sounds both modern and geeky enough for the show. That's my personal opinion. I could live with either, but prefer the first.
And you know what I'm going to do, Dave, is, says he, I will put in all the themes that we have received so far into this. So I won't do our current theme because that's at the beginning of the show. So that was by Slick Zero. How would you pronounce that, Dave? If you go to media theme music, hackerpublicradio.com/media/theme-music, all lowercase.
Well, I think it's a sort of an Italianized name. So I would pronounce it maestraggio, as per the Italian would be. So it's a sort of maestro type variant. Maestraggio, I guess.
Okay, yeah? We'll play that now. We'll have the 3P version of that now. Thank you. Then we will have the AK version of that now. And we will do the Mr. X version. Roller Coaster Music version 1. Roller Coaster Music version 2. Thank you. Roller Coaster Music version 3.
And the last one is going to be at the end of the show. That's Clackies, because I don't have one without the voiceover on it. So you'll hear that at the end.
And now I need to edit all those, Dave.
Damn it!
What have you done?
Yeah, I'll get this to you in the morning. Okay, yeah, okay. That was it. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio, as I realize I have to edit all day tomorrow. Okay, join us. No, you've had enough music. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Na 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 na.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binweb.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share-Alike 3.0 license.
Ba 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 ba